Mr. Poole told you not once, not twice, but three times you were going to have a short message. And I got the message. All I have to do now is coordinate my watch. What do you have?
1:06.
Okay. I'd like to read from 2 Kings chapter 2. And it came to pass when the Lord would take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind, Elijah went with Elisha unto Gilgal. And Elijah said unto Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord has sent me to Bethel. And Elisha said unto him, as the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they went down to Bethel. And the sons of the prophets that were at Bethel came forth to Elisha and said unto him, knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? And he said, yeah, I know it. Hold ye your peace. And Elijah said unto him, I said unto him, Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord hath sent me to Jericho. And he said, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they came to Jericho. And the sons of the prophets that were at Jericho came to Elisha and said unto him, knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? And he answered, yea, I know it. Hold ye your peace. And Elijah said unto him, tarry, I pray thee, here, for the Lord hath sent me to Jordan. And he said, as the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. And they too went on. And the 50 men of the sons of the prophets went and stood to view afar off, and they stood by Jordan. And Elijah took his mantle and wrapped it together and smote the waters, and they were divided hither and thither, so that they too went over on dry ground. The Lord will bless to us the reading of his precious word, and we'll trust our memories for the rest of this story. You're going on a journey today, and it'll be a very pleasant journey, I'm sure. First of all, you'll be in the company of the best people on earth. And secondly, you'll see the wonders of God's wisdom and power along the road in the color. And thirdly, you'll visit that choicest of all God's object lessons, the tabernacle in the wilderness. And I'm sure that the Lord will bless your visit there. I thought we would take a journey this morning before you leave, and then when you get back tonight, we'll appropriately take up that psalm, how amiable are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts. But this morning we'll take a little trip, and we'll call it a sentimental journey. It's the journey that Elijah took on the last day of his sojourn here on the earth. And he takes it with his young friend Elisha, his younger friend Elisha. And it must have been a sentimental journey. They spoke undoubtedly of the fact that he was going to be taken away from me, they were going to be separated. And that's always a sentimental journey. I remember I was here at Greenwood Hills when the word came to me that my very, very close friend had cancer, and he was only expected to live less than a year. And the long journey home seemed dreadfully long. And then we sat down together, and it was a sentimental journey as we traced over the last 50 years that we had had together. And they must have had a great deal to talk about. Elijah would remember the first time that he called Elisha, and he called him to a life of service. And after he had done it, he said, what have I done to you? And how true that is. It was a great burden to Elijah that he had called this young man to a life of service. But here is Elisha, not willing to let the life of service just dissipate. He is going all the way with his friend Elijah. And it's very interesting where they begin. They begin at the place called Gilgal. Gilgal brings up many memories as we read of it in the Word of God. But first of all, the first mention of Gilgal is when Israel came out of the wilderness, crossed the River Jordan, and they went to Gilgal. And what did they do? They set up a memorial. And this is so appropriate on this sentimental journey. It begins at the place of memorial, the place where they had taken the 12 stones out of the river and made a memorial, so that from that point on, anyone passing that area would remember the fact that God had delivered Israel from Egypt, had brought them successfully across the rest, the desert, and had brought them safely into the land through the river of death. And we have our memorial, as we were speaking last night. How precious that memorial ought to be to us. Someone has called it the chief meeting of the church, and I heartily endorse that statement. The chief meeting of the church, the memorial of the sacrifice of our Lord Jesus Christ for us. They went from Gilgal to Bethel. "Stay here," said Elijah. "Don't go any further. I'll go on alone." And it would be very pleasant at times, wouldn't it, to stay at the place of memorial. But there are things to be done. And so they head from there down to Bethel. Bethel is the house of God. It's a precious, precious title, the house of God, because that is the church. It is the dwelling place of God. He says, "Where two or three are gathered together, I will be there in the midst of you." It is that which is the pillar and the ground of truth, the church, the house of God. And there are things to be done. It isn't all just lay back and enjoy, but there are things to be done in the house of God. Speaking at breakfast to a sister engaged in children's work, and she's speaking of how difficult it is to get help to carry on children's work. We're experiencing this over at our CMML office. We have the clothing center there. And for a long time we had all kinds of help in the clothing center. There are things to be done. The clothing has to be separated, sized, to make sure it's clean, repaired if necessary. But we find it more and more and more difficult to get people to come and help. And all this is the outflow of the house of God, the people of God, the church of God. They went from Bethel to Jericho. "Stay here," he said, "in the house of God. There's plenty to do." "No," he said, "as the Lord liveth, I won't leave you." And so they went down to Jericho. What does Jericho represent? Jericho represents the world. The world in all its pleasantness. Jericho was a pleasant place. It was the city of palm trees. There are several places in the Word of God that remind us of the world. Egypt is one of them. Egypt and slaves. Egypt is arrogant. It doesn't need God. There is hardly any rainfall in Egypt. They get all the water they need from the Nile River. Nothing coming down from the heavens. And so the attitude is, in using Egypt as a symbol of the world, it's man without God. He doesn't need God. And how true this is. We're putting God out of almost everything in our country today. You wonder when the time will come when the name of God is even removed from our monetary system. In God we trust. We wonder if it will last. Yes, Egypt is a type of the world and its independence of God. Sodom and Gomorrah, they're types of the world and all its filth. And when have we ever known in our lives anything like the filth and the vileness of the heart of man as it is displayed today? Even people of the world are becoming sickened by that which represents the world. But then Jericho is the pleasant place, and the world is a pleasant place. You can get very comfortable in the world. In fact, don't be offended when I say I think that's one of our problems, that we're all too comfortable. We're enjoying every possible convenience. And it has made us, as the young folks say, a laid-back people. And I really don't worry about the man next door, whether he's going to hell or not. I hope he doesn't. But do I have an exercise for that man? The world, Jericho, it's a fun place. You don't have to worry about a man's eternal destiny in a place like Jericho. Worldliness. Well, you say, I've never gone to Minsky's burlesque show or anything of that nature. We don't have to become worldly in our thinking. We see somebody with something that's a little bit better than what we have, and the world says to you, you can have it, you're worth it. Use L'Oreal, you're worth it, you ladies. Yeah, you're worth it. Ford Motor Company says, when you get to the top, there's one waiting for you. There it is. Big, long limousine. Now, there's nothing wrong with L'Oreal. Nothing wrong with a Lincoln Continental. There are times when I wish I had one. But that's because the world's getting into my heart. No, we need to guard against the influences of the world. The world today is saying, I ought to be served because I'm somebody special. And all of the advertising keeps telling me that I am somebody special. And all I am is a sinner saved by grace. And by the grace of God, I should let others in on the secret. And so he went down to Jericho with Elijah. Having seen Jericho, he wasn't interested in it at all. And Elijah said, you better tarry here, it's a pleasant place. But it's a place that was under the curse of God. When Joshua destroyed the city, he placed a curse upon the city. He said, cursed is that man that will lay the foundations of this city. He will do so in the death of his firstborn. And a couple of hundred years went by. Nobody paid any attention. They forgot all about the curse. And finally, might have been a real estate broker, I don't know, but he decided to rebuild the city. And when he put the foundations down, his oldest son died. Joshua said, and whoever hangs the gates of this city, he'll do so in the death of his youngest. And when the man finished the city and hung the gates, he lost his youngest. It's a place that's pleasant, but it's a place under a curse. And as the song says, this world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. If heaven is not my home, O Lord, what will I do? But heaven is our home, isn't it? And finally, they went on to Jordan. It's interesting what happened at Jordan. They went to Jordan, and Elijah took his mantle and wrapped it, kind of twisted it, and struck the waters, and the river separated, even as it had done long before when Israel crossed over. And they crossed over dry shod, and the river flowed again. Elijah was taken up with angels and chariots up into heaven. Wonder how I would react or you would react if you knew exactly right now this was your last day on earth. We say it might be, but we're not sure, so we get comfortable in that. But this was his last day, and he went up into heaven. And Elisha turned around, picked up the mantle, struck the waters. Where is the God of Elijah? And he crossed over what? The River Jordan. The wilderness was on the other side. He had been delivered, Israel had been delivered from that. And he was, as it were, being baptized in the River Jordan. And he was now going in to the land again to do what God wanted them to do in the first place. He gave the land to Abraham. He said to Isaac, dwell in the land. He brought Jacob back into the land. And here was Elisha crossing over to possess the land. Are we possessing what God has given to us? Shall we pray? Our Father in God, we bow before Thee and thank Thee for these simple illustrations in Thy precious Word. Help us to appropriate the lessons, not only for our good, but, O God, for Thy eternal glory. For we ask it in the precious name of our Lord Jesus, as we commend ourselves to Thee for the day, for journeying mercies and all the providential mercies Thou hast in store for us. Through Christ our Lord, we bow before Thee. Amen.